Years ago, during my first pastorate in Winchester, Virginia, I attended a conference. They called it a prayer renewal weekend. Now, I had been to several similar events before, full of hope to learn some secret to unlock a satisfying, fulfilling prayer life. And I usually came away disappointed. Not this time, though. I was so captivated by what the speaker said that I later ordered the cassette recordings of those messages. And this was long before there was equipment that would do it itself. I literally transcribed all of the messages because I wanted that information for myself and also to be able to present it to others. The speaker was Dr. Charles Nienkirchen. He was a professor at Canadian Bible College. And at the very opening of this conference, he said these words: "I have come to the conclusion that in the lives of many church-going Christians, the capacity to hear the voice of God has been seriously diminished. Not only has it been seriously diminished, but there are many Christians whom I suspect do not even have a desire to hear the voice of God. When I reflect upon the contemporary situation in many evangelical churches, I'm reminded of the words of Amos the prophet in chapter 8, verses 11 and 12. The days are coming, declares the sovereign Lord, that I will send a famine through the land, not a famine of food or a thirst for water, but a famine for hearing the voice or hearing the words of the Lord. Men will stagger from sea to sea and wander from north to east, searching for the word of the Lord, but they will not find it." This is a very discouraging scenario, particularly when you deal with many people, as I do, who have been raised in evangelical Protestant churches, who have been continually exposed to biblical preaching, yet seem strangers to the voice of God. On the other hand, there is an encouraging scenario that I am also aware of going on. There seems to be a renewed interest among a growing number of various denominations in this area of listening to the voice of God. I can attest to that as well. In fact, the whole idea behind this sermon series came out of our Wednesday prayer meetings. And the subject came up about hearing God's voice. And I was asked the question, have you ever preached a series on listening to God? And I had to think, I don't know that I ever have. Maybe an individual sermon here or there, but I don't know if we've really dove into the subject at any great depth. And I felt moved through that conversation that that's something we should do, and this is an opportune time to do it. So this morning, we're going to begin a new series on how to hear God's voice. But before we get into the mechanics of listening, I think there is a fundamental question that needs to be answered, and that is God speaking? I mean, if we want to hear God's voice, don't we first have to realize if God is speaking or not? And this question is really at the heart of the Christian life. Most Christians that I know, and I count myself in this number, acknowledge their need for God's guidance. We regularly seek it. The problem is we're not so sure if we recognize God's voice. In moments of honest reflection, we doubt whether God actually speaks to anybody today. I mean, maybe he does to a select few, you know, the ones that are really tuned in, right? I'll admit a lot of people will come to me and say, hey, could you pray about this for me? I'm happy to do so, but, you know, you should pray about it yourself. Yeah, but God listens to you better. Really? I don't think so. But we convince ourselves of that. Now, even a casual reading of the Bible reveals a consistent pattern of God speaking to his people. But some argue that biblical history doesn't necessarily translate into modern experience. I mean, after all, talking donkeys and burning bushes aren't all that common these days. But if you really look closer into Scripture, you see that God did indeed speak on matters of great significance through supernatural means like that. But he also clearly communicated with men and women from all walks of life regarding matters of seemingly lesser importance. Bottom line, yes, God was speaking. People heard him. Well, what significance does this hold for the Christian today? Does God give specific guidance to people today? And if so, how does he do it? Now, I contend that God does speak to people today. But I also say that we must be prepared to hear what he is saying. It is crucial that we as Christians clearly understand what God is communicating to us and how to respond appropriately. So maybe the question isn't so much whether God speaks, but how does he speak to us? Charles Stanley wrote in his book, How to Listen to God, which is a book I'm using to kind of set the structure for this series of messages. He writes, I believe one of the most valuable lessons we can ever learn is how to listen to God. In the midst of our complex and hectic lives, nothing is more urgent, nothing is more necessary, nothing is more rewarding than hearing what God has to say. And the Bible is explicit. God speaks to us just as powerfully today as in the days when the Bible was written. His voice waits to be heard. And having heard it, we are launched into the greatest, most exciting adventure we could ever imagine. But again, before we look at how we hear God's voice, we have to ensure that God is, in fact, speaking. And we begin with the past question. How did God speak to his people in the past? And the answer to that comes in Hebrews chapter 1, the very opening verses of the book of Hebrews. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, through whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. Very clear. In the past, God spoke. And he did so in a variety of ways. And I'd like to go through some of those with you. First, God spoke by direct revelation. Through his Spirit, he spoke to the spirit of men like Abraham, who one day heard God directly tell him to leave the land in which he was living and go to a land that God would show him. In Genesis 12, verse 1, Now the Lord said to Abram, Get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. You shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So there were times when God just directly communicated with his people. They heard his voice. Second, the Bible says that God spoke through dreams and visions. Two people in particular come to mind here. One is Joseph, through whom God gave interpretations of dreams, many times the dreams of other people. And secondly, the prophet Daniel. Daniel received dreams and visions himself. He also was able to interpret the dreams and visions of others. And through those, Daniel was able to see empires that were yet to come. And he does so with such precision that those who don't believe in divine inspiration are convinced that Daniel was written several hundred years later, looking back on what actually happened, because there's no way somebody could predict with that precision what would happen hundreds of years before. But we know God did exactly that. And he did it through dreams and visions. Now, I want to give a warning here. We've got to be careful. The Bible never suggests that we seek God's will through dreams and visions. This was not something that was encouraged. And we've got to be careful, as we're going to see, that we don't take every dream or vision that we have as the voice of God. I think sometimes it's more the voice of what we ate just before we went to bed. So be careful in that regard. Third, God spoke through his written words. The words that he gave to Moses, the Ten Commandments, the law that the Ten Commandments serves as a foundation. These were written down, and throughout the Old Testament period in particular, that became the foundation for the Israelite society. They were to be people of the book, people of the word, the written word. Now, there were times when God would speak audibly, like Saul of Tarsus on his way to Damascus, when he heard a voice from heaven, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Sometimes it was audible, sometimes it was visual. God spoke through his words. Fourth, God spoke through his prophets. Throughout the Old and New Testaments, we see men and women who were inspired by God's Spirit who said, "Thus says the Lord." And you knew that whatever came out of their mouth next were literally the words of God. Now, the amazing thing about that is that while God spoke his words through his prophets, he did so in such a way that maintained their own unique personality and style. You see it in the writings. Isaiah wrote very differently than Jeremiah. Hosea wrote very differently than Micah. Their own style, their own personal character can be seen. The same is true in the New Testament. Paul was a very different writer than John or James or Peter. And God was able to communicate his words through other humans in a way that maintained their integrity, yet the message was precisely God's words. Fifth, God spoke through circumstances. Remember the story of Gideon. God had called him to go to battle. He wanted to make sure it wasn't what he ate last night. So he said, "God, I'm going to put out this fleece. In the morning, I'd like the fleece to be dry and the grass wet with dew." The next morning, it was just that way. He said, "All right, that might have been coincidence. So tomorrow morning, I'd like it to be reversed. Let the grass be dry, but let the fleece be wet." And it was. God worked through those circumstances to communicate his word and his will. He doesn't always do that. And we shouldn't presume upon God, but in this moment, he understood Gideon needed some extra grace. And he worked in those circumstances. Again, be careful though. We can take that too far. I heard of a story of someone who was debating whether they should go on a trip. They had never been in an airplane before. They had never traveled very far. They were really wrestling with, is this something that we should do? And they woke up one morning and turned and looked at their digital clock on the nightstand, and it said 747. They concluded that it was God's will for them to go on the plane. Another person was struggling with wanting to know God's will. He needed to buy a car, right? And so one night, he has a dream, and everything in the dream is yellow. So he's sure God wants him to buy a yellow car. Turned out to be a lemon. Be careful in putting too much stock into circumstances. I know some people say there's no such thing as a coincidence, but sometimes a cigar is just a cigar. So, you know, let's not read too much into things. Sixth, God spoke through angels. Both Old and New Testament, we see this happening. An angel came to the parents of Samson to announce the birth of their son. The angel Gabriel came to three different people, Zechariah, Joseph, and Mary, all around the birth of John the Baptist and later Jesus. There were times when angels were commissioned to directly speak God's word to another person. Seventh, God often spoke through the Holy Spirit. There's an interesting incident recorded in the book of Acts, chapter 16. Paul and his companions they had gone back and revisited the churches they planted in their first missionary tour, but they felt they needed to branch out more. And I really think Paul had his eyes on Ephesus, the capital of Asia Minor. But we're told in Acts 16, verse 6, "Now when they had gone through Phrygia into the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them." So if you can envision in your mind, they're coming out of the region of Galatia. They wanted to go straight west toward Ephesus, and the Holy Spirit said no. So then they turned north. They're going to go into Bithynia, and the Holy Spirit said no. And they ended up going kind of northwest into Troas, and it was there that Paul had the vision of the man from Macedonia saying, "Come and help us." But God closed doors before he opened the one. How did he do that? I don't know. I don't know if the Holy Spirit showed up with a big stop sign and said, "Not here." I don't know. But it's very clear in this passage that it was the Holy Spirit that was speaking to Paul in closing some doors and opening others. So when the author of Hebrews said that in the past God spoke to our forefathers at different times and in various ways, he wasn't kidding. God had a variety of ways in which he spoke. But the greatest way God spoke in the past was through his son, Jesus Christ. He was God in the flesh. When you saw Jesus, you saw God. When you heard Jesus, you heard God. And more than angels, more than prophets, more than dreams and visions, God revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ. So if you're looking at a hierarchy of how God spoke, Jesus Christ would be at the top, followed by the Holy Spirit, the prophets, the written word, dreams and visions, circumstances. He spoke in all of these ways, but Jesus was the ultimate revelation of God. Maybe that's why when John began his gospel, he referred to Jesus as the Word. That which is spoken, because he is the living Word of God. Well, you might be thinking, that's nice. That was then. What about now? Is God speaking in the present? Now, I believe that Isaiah 58, verses 9 and 11, describe the experience of God's faithful people in all ages. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and He will say, "Here I am." The Lord will guide you continually. Now, I know there are some who doubt whether God still speaks today, but I am thankful that God is still in the communication business. He employs different methods of revealing Himself to the contemporary believer, and some of them are going to sound real familiar because they're similar to how He spoke in the past. Remember, God doesn't change. Sometimes He will change His methods, but there are many that carry over into our own time. First and foremost, God's primary way of speaking to us today is through His Word, through the Bible. We have a complete revelation of God right here. He doesn't need to add anything to this book. In fact, He warns against people that try to do that. Anybody that adds to or takes away from this book is in trouble with God. So we have a complete revelation of God right here. We believe that it is inspired by God. The classic verse for that is 2 Timothy 3:16. The King James says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The literal Greek is reflected in the NIV that says all Scripture is God-breathed. It is literally the breath of God that flowed through the various writers of Scripture so that they wrote it down precisely as God wanted it to be said. In the most primary of senses, the Word of God is simply God speaking. When I was in Bible college, I had one professor that told me, "You write just like you talk." He said, "When I read one of your papers, I hear your voice because that's just how you write." And I thought about that. That's true of God. When we read the Scriptures, we're hearing God's voice. You say, "Well, what's it sound like?" Well, I don't know about that. But we can recognize His character. We recognize His desires, His heart, everything about God through His Word. I remember years ago, my dad used to record a lot of things off the radio, Christian radio. He wasn't so much into music at the time, but he loved preaching and teaching. And so if somebody was coming on, he'd pop in a cassette and hit record. And I was able to get some of those recordings later on. And what I really enjoyed was hearing the voice of someone whose books I often used. Because as I heard the voice, after a while, when I would read those books, I could hear the voice in the words. That's what the Bible is with God. When we read, we're not just reading the words of Moses or David or Peter or Paul or John. These are the words of God. This is how God speaks to us today. A second method by which God speaks to us today is through the Holy Spirit. I am convinced through the teaching of Scripture that every follower of Jesus, every Christian has the Holy Spirit living within them. Not just a few. Not just ordained ministers or seminary professors or missionaries. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit living within. And the Spirit of God wants to communicate with you. He wants to speak to you if you will hear Him. Third, God speaks to us through other people. He will use others to communicate His Word. I think sometimes He does that when we're not paying attention to the Scripture and to His Spirit. He might send somebody else along. Or He might send somebody when what we need to hear is really different than the direction we're headed. I can attest to that. When I was a teenager, I pretty much had my future plan set. I had a college that I wanted to go to. I wanted to go into journalism. I wanted to be a writer. That was what I wanted to do. One Sunday at church, our youth group did the entire worship service. And somebody sang, somebody read scripture, somebody prayed, somebody did this, that. I was the one to give the sermon. I think it was 7 minutes long. Oh, how things have changed, right? But I remember after that service, one of the men of the church, of whom I had the utmost respect, came up to me and said, "Have you ever thought about being a preacher?" My honest answer was, "Not in a million years." It had never even crossed my mind. I never even considered it. But that, along with some other circumstances and other things that happened in my life, in the period of about the next 6 to 8 months, and I can't pinpoint anything more than that one conversation, but my whole future trajectory changed. I applied to a Bible college, and I was going into ministry. I really believe God used that one individual, whom, by the way, I believe was listening to God's voice himself. He spoke through that person, and it had a powerful impact on me. I do believe that God will speak through other people. I believe God will speak through us, and we may not even recognize it. And that's why it's important that we be careful what we say, because our words can have a powerful impact on people. Sometimes it's good, sometimes, yeah, not so much. So we've got to be careful about what we say. And then I also believe God will speak through circumstances. Just like he did in the past, he will again. And God will close some doors and he'll open others. And that's one way he communicates his desires and his plans for us. So God speaks to us today in four primary ways. First, through his word. Second, through the Holy Spirit. Third, through other godly people. And fourth, through circumstances. But please hear this. And if you take nothing more of this message than this, I will feel a success. God will never, ever, ever speak to us in a way that contradicts his word. Keep that in mind. I have heard people come to me and say, "God told me," and the next thing that comes out of their mouth is the furthest thing from what God says. God was not speaking to them. They may have heard it. It wasn't from God. God will not contradict his word. That's why I said, first and foremost, he speaks to us through Scripture. He will use other means, but he will not ever contradict Scripture. So if you're hearing a voice, and it might sound like an angel, it might sound like the voice of God himself, if it goes against his word, it is not from God. Remember, Satan himself can appear as an angel of light. He is a great counterfeiter, and he will even convince you that what he is saying is the voice of God. That's why we've got to be in the word. First and foremost, he will not contradict himself. Well, this brings us to the personal question. Am I listening for God's voice? I want to go back to that prayer renewal weekend that I had attended years ago. The speaker said this: "Much of our prayer resembles one hand clapping or half a circle. We have a full diet of speaking prayer, but we give very little place to listening prayer." God is not just an ear who listens, but also a voice who speaks. And if he never speaks, is it safe to say that he ever hears? A mute God can soon become an absent God. In fact, I would suggest that listening prayer gives rise to speaking prayer, and that speaking prayer inspires the listening prayer. In a healthy prayer diet, both individually and collectively in our churches, we need to have a completed circle which includes both listening and speaking prayer. In this way, we will know that what we are speaking is indeed the will of God. Here is a definition of prayer. Prayer is simply being present with God. Speaking and listening to the Lord in a variety of ways best suited for each individual. That was mind-blowing the time I heard it. Because like so many, if I was ever asked, well, what's prayer? It's talking to God. That's really only half the story. Prayer is also listening to God. And I confess, most of my prayer life had always been talking to God. I can talk to God for 20 minutes. Am I listening to Him even for 20 seconds? Or am I just content to pour out my heart to Him and then leave before He has a chance to say anything to me? Perhaps a well-intentioned person has given you their forms of prayer and told you that the form is the essence. The form is not the essence. The essence is inner communion and union with God. The forms can vary from person to person. Don't be concerned that you don't pray like somebody else. Don't try to mimic somebody else's prayers. You don't have to do that. Be real. Open your heart to God. Tell Him what's on your heart. Trust me, He can take it. But also, be willing to listen for what He has to say. That scripture that was read earlier from Psalm 81, it's really a sad saga of a people who would not listen to God. Again, hear not just the words, but the tone. Hear the heart of God as He speaks to His people. Hear, O my people, and I will warn you. If you would but listen to me, O Israel, you shall have no foreign God among you. You shall not bow down to an alien God. I am the Lord, your God, who brought you up out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth, and I will fill it. But my people would not listen to me. Israel would not submit to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own devices. If my people would just listen to me, if Israel would follow my ways, how quickly I would subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes. You hear the heart of God? How much He wants us to listen. Please listen to me. Please hear my voice. And each one of us needs to ask, Lord, have you been trying to tell me something that I desperately need to hear? Am I really listening? I wonder how many times God has spoken to us and we just haven't been listening. John White wrote in a book called The Fight, it is God who wishes to establish communication. He is more anxious to speak to us than we are to hear Him. Did you catch that? God is more anxious to speak to us than we are to hear Him. That's His desire. He really wants for us to hear His voice. He is incredibly persistent trying to get through. Our real problem is that we tend to avoid hearing Him. God said in Isaiah 28:23, listen and hear my voice. Pay attention and hear what I say. See, the question is not, is God speaking? The question is, am I listening? Perhaps my responsibility is to believe He is speaking right now, and maybe my job is to listen. As we continue in this series, we'll get into how that's done. But we need to establish this first and foremost. God is speaking. Am I listening?